Okay, and we're off. So I'm reading from the Bavli in Megillah Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra tikkun lehem liYisrael shiukarin klalos shabataras kohanim kodem atzeres v'shebamishnah Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah. That there is a takana from the time of Ezra HaSofer that the curses in Taras Kohanim, meaning this parsha that we're going to read this week in Chukosai, the curses should be read before Shavuos. V'shebamishnah Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah, and the curses in Sefer Devarim in Parshas Kisavo should be read before Rosh Hashanah. My time, Amar Abaye, v'itimer reish lakish kedei shetichle Hashanah v'kila losel, that the year should go out along with its curses. Says the Gemara, Bishlama shebamishnah Torah ikka kedei shetichle Hashanah v'kila losel. We understand the basis for the takana of reading Parshas Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. However, why does that? What is the reasoning for reading the curses in Taras Kohanim, meaning in the end of Vayikra, Atu Atzeres Rosh Hashanah, right? Is Shavuos a Rosh Hashanah? So says the Gemara, in Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos is also considered a Rosh Hashanah. Adkan. So just to properly understand this Gemara that we've brought in different discussions here, one might think that the takana of Ezra is that we have the Seder of the Parshios, we're reading the Torah right from the beginning to the end. So the takana is to arrange our reading of the Torah in such a way that it comes out that the week before Shavuos and the week before Rosh Hashanah we read certain Parshios. But that would be the wrong way of understanding this Gemara. Why is that? Because as the Gemara itself says, in fact, it's right here on this daf. It happens to be right here on the same daf in Megillah that the minhag that we have today, which has permeated most of the Jewish people, that we read the entire Torah over the course of a year, is a relatively recent phenomenon. Right? It used to be the minhag in Eretz Yisrael to finish the Torah once every 3 years. It was a triennial cycle. Okay. So it could be that now, this time of year, there were bichlal in, I don't know, in the middle of Sefer Shemos. Yeah? The takana of reading the klalos is the same as the takana of the Dalet Parshios. Right? For example. Right? That regardless of where you happen to be in the cycle, before this event, it is a takana to read this parsha. Read this parsha before this date. Doesn't matter where you happen to be in the Seder Parshios. Yeah? So there's something unique about the klalos that have to be read before Rosh Hashanah. The klalos have to be read before Rosh Hashanah. And in the just like Rosh Hashanah, meaning the first of Tishrei, is a Yom Hadin, a collective Yom Hadin for not just the Jewish people, but for all of humanity. The Atzeres is also, in its own way, a Rosh Hashanah, because this advent of Matan Torah, of Kabbalah HaTorah, is the Jewish people entering a new sphere of existence, right? There are new standards here. And just like when you're trying to get into a new, when you're trying to enter into a new domain, into a new reality, right? There are standards to this reality. There are new ways of measuring the person. And you need to show that you're capable of functioning in that space. That is a din. In fact, that's probably the definition of din. Are you capable of functioning in this space? Are you capable of functioning in this domain? That's the definition of din, right? And when we entering this experience is a Rosh Hashanah in and of itself. It's a type of din, and right, going into the din, a person needs to see first and foremost what's at stake, right? What is right at threat, so to speak. This is the nature of reading these klalos now. Which, again, according to our custom, we arrange the Seder HaParshios in such a way in order to say that we could be Mekai in this Takana. That the Klolos of Parshas B'Chukosai are read before Shavuos. I want to read from the Sifra. The preamble in Parshas B'Chukosai is delineating the positive side of what can come about in this bris, in this covenant between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the land will function in the way that it's supposed to. And not only will it function in the way that it's supposed to, but it will produce a supernatural result. There'll be peace in the land, and you will not have to worry about anything, meaning you will be open. There will be an open field, so to speak, in order to fulfill the Torah properly. And even the natural and mundane threats that come with living in such a land will also be mushbat. They'll be nullified. I'm skipping ahead to pasuk. Excuse me. And the result of this will be that, right, in addition to all of the natural blessings, that the land will give forth its produce, and all of the, you know, pesky wild animals won't bother you. In addition to all that, I will dwell amongst you, and I will not be disgusted by you. And I will walk amongst you. He's halachti besochachem. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dwelling amongst the Jewish people, but he's walking amongst them. He's halachti besochachem. V'ha'isi lachem l'Elohim v'atem tiyu l'ilam. And you will be, and I will be for you as an Elohim, and you will be for me as a nation. Ani Hashem Elokechem asher aseisechem meretz Mitzrayim. Nios mahem avadim. You were slaves, and the only reason that you're not slaves now is because I redeemed you in a supernatural way. V'eshbor matos lachem. V'alecheschem komamius. Komamio says, "Unklos lecherusa, lecherusa. I took you out in order. I made you free in order so that you can embody this ideal that I'm talking about now." He's halachti besochachem. Says the Sifri. Says the Sifra, rather. Right. Moshe lemahad avardome. Right. What is this like? Leoris, leoris hamelech, like the sharecropper of a king. Okay? The sharecropper is given permission to go in the garden of the king and take care of all the trees of the king. The shama is called hamelech ba, the sochagina, and the oris, one day he hears the king coming into the garden, and he freaks out because the king, you know, you don't always come face to face to the king. He's like, you know, he's a low level employee, right? But now, right, the king is coming, right? V'niz da'azeh mipanav, and he's petrified, and he comes. And he hides from the king. Amar lo amelech, lama atamis pachet. Why are you so afraid? Ani kamosecha. I am just like you. I am just like you. Right? Kach otev HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishalechim atzadikim began Eden. Right? So too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will walk with the righteous in Gan Eden. Okay? V'yischabu mipanav. And initially the tzadikim will be petrified from God's presence. V'yomer lahem, lama atem ispachadim, ani va'atem, atem kamosi. You, I am like you, and you are like me. Come and walk with me, right? This mashal, Rav Osai, of the oris, of the sharecropper that is being given rishus to take care of all the trees of the king, and the king comes and he's petrified, and he goes and hides. This is an obvious allusion to the very, very beginning of Maaseh Bereishis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the Adam, and he puts him in his garden to take care of all of his trees, right? La'avda, la'lishamra. Let's just read Perek Gimel of Sefer Bereishis, so we can just highlight how clear this is. Oh, you even put a little tissue in here for me, so that I would keep the place. Yishar Koach. So we all know what happens, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives this one commandment to the Adam to not eat from the tree, and they end up eating from it. Vayishmeu es kol Hashem Elohim mishalech bagan. Mishalech. God is walking in the garden. Vayishabeha Adam v'ishto. And they're scared, so they, right? The sharecropper is scared, so he hides. Vayikra Hashem Elohim el ha'adam vayomer lo ayeka. Now, there's an important, very, very important ha'ara that's necessary to understand this word ayeka. There are many words in Lashon HaKodesh that connote, you know, looking for something, wanting to know the location of something, right? Afo, right? There's many different words that person can pose the question, where is the location of something? But the word ayeka has a very, very specific connotation. And that connotation is not where are you, but where did you go? Where did you go? Ayeka. And by the way, incidentally, understanding this connotation of this word, you can understand the response that Adam gives, right? If the question was just, where are you? Then the response should be, I'm here. I'm in X location. But Adam gives like a whole story. He says, Vayomer, Kol Chashamati, well, I heard a voice in the garden by Iran. I was afraid. Ki Eroma Nochi, because I realized that I'm undressed. Vayichabe, and therefore I went and hid, right? It makes sense if that's the question. Where'd you go? Why aren't you here? The Mishalech Bagan is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's first attempt at what he's describing over here in Parashas B'chukosai. V'yishalachti b'sochechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to walk in the Gan. He comes to walk in the garden with the Aris, with Adam. He comes to walk with him. And Adam isn't there. So he asks, Ayeka, where'd you go? We were supposed to walk together. Adam says, listen, I'm sorry I had to skip the appointment because I fell catastrophically and I'm so ashamed and I have to hide. That's the response. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying in this pasuk that if you come in line with this covenant that I'm giving you now, if you are in line with this bris, then you can replay that mistake of Adam HaRishon in the correct way. And it will be a model, as the Sifra says, for the tzaddikim in Gan Eden, that they will also walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they will also initially be afraid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pull them out of that terror and say, no, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm like you and you're like me, which is an unbelievable statement to say. Right? Don't be afraid. We can be together. It's okay. This is the ideal that's being spoken out. the klolos that are coming to be spoken out in order to go into the covenant. The truth is, you know, even before the reason that the Gemara gives of needing to, you know, leave the year behind, right, exit the year along with its curses, it's just a davar pashut that a person, before they go into Kabbalah Satorah, which is the ultimate bris, right? It's the initial bris of the Jewish people, right? Bris Sinai, right? The covenant of Sinai. Okay? And as the Pasuk says, Eila Divrei HaBris, these are the terms of the covenant, right? Going to the covenant of Sinai, these are the terms. These are the terms of the covenant. Right? We see these curses are incredibly explicit. I mean, it's arguably you could say that the curses in Mishneh Torah are more severe. They're certainly longer, right? But we're talking about the fundamental breakdown of every single facet of the individual and the collective. Everything falls apart. The crops start not growing, right? You can't rely on the safety of your cities. The enemy comes in. You're not able to fight them off. Slowly, every single facet of your world starts breaking down. Every single thing starts breaking down. And the message of these klolos is that ultimately, our external reality is meant to be a projection of our internal reality, which is the bris. The bris is the internal reality. How are we in terms of our solidity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are we solid with Hashem? Are we keeping our end of the bris? That's the ultimate question. That's the only question. And everything else is only an emanation, an outward projection of that. Right? The concept that keeps on coming up throughout these parshios is that the Jewish people are told by God, V'im telchu imi bekeri, if you walk with me bekeri. What does that mean, bekeri? Keri means casually. It means casually. Okay? If you walk with me casually, ani gamani asalech itchem bekeri. I'll also deal with you casually. Everything is a projection. Everything is a one-to-one projection of how we are acting. Rav Chaim, we mentioned Rav Chaim Volozhin in the context of this, in the context of the conversation before the shir. Right? In the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin says an unbelievable thing on the pasuk: Hashem tzilcha al yad minecha. Hashem is your tzel on your right side. On the pshat level, what does that mean? It means that Hashem is, you know, he's on your right side. He's shadowing you. He's protecting you. Right?
says Rav Chaim, an unbelievable thing. Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. What does that mean? Everything that you do is what your shadow does. Your shadow isn't an independent entity, right? A child discovers their shadow for the first time. They think it's, you know, some cool, you know, Bria Yesh Ma'ayin. It's like some other entity. But no, they come to realize that it's just a projection of what I'm doing. It's a one-to-one projection of what I'm doing. Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Minecha means this, right? What you are experiencing in the external realm of the world is just a projection of what you're doing. If you're going to be with me, Bekeri, I'm going to be with you, Bekeri. That's just what it is. Next Sifra. Right? V'nofaltem lifnei oyveichem. One of the klolos is that you'll be forced to exit the cities. You'll be forced to exit the cities, and the second that you walk out, your enemies are going to pounce on you. Listen to a Sifra Rabosa. It's unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable. Okay? Halacha. Ein melina mesameis v'Yerushalayim. It's forbidden to leave a dead body overnight in Yerushalayim. That is, in fact, the halacha. Okay, so what are they going to do? They're, you know, in their haste to fulfill the kavura as quickly as possible, they're going to take the body out of the city, and the second they walk out, boom, the enemy is going to jump them. Think about what this is saying, Rabosai. We just talked about a society that's completely, completely corrupt. They've abandoned all the Torah. They're stealing, lying, cheating, murdering, worshipping Avodah Zarah, everything. The whole thing, okay? They're suddenly makbid on this obscure halacha that you can't leave a dead body inside the city overnight. Why are they suddenly so frum that they're so makbid in a time of war, nonetheless? They know that the enemy is outside, but they're gonna go risk their lives in order to make sure that the body doesn't stay over in Yerushalayim. Right? Halamai Rabosai, as the Sifra continues, right? Oz kana livavam he'arel. Right? Until your heart becomes subjugated. Says the Sifra, Shuva nimtza betzido, right? Shuva is the trigger for this feeling. The rega sheikanu levavam shav charon apo. But in the moment that the heart is lowered, okay, that's when shuva comes. What is it saying? It's saying that when the person starts to realize, when the person feels the severity of the kolos, that's when his mind comes back to reality. Right? When things are getting real and people are dropping dead in the streets, then you start thinking about, you know, what it is that I'm supposed to do. Everything was fine and dandy with worshipping idols until now, and now people are dead, right? And we have to deal with them. Then people start thinking about what it is that they're supposed to do. And in Okanami, they start asking, well, what's the proper way of dealing with this mace? Right? Death, unfortunately, has a way of doing that. It has a way, right? People start waking up. People start waking up, right? That's the area where they're makbid. The area that they're makbid is when, right, in Hilchos Kvura, right? As lo aleinu, why do we have to wait till it comes to the laws of dealing with our dead friends? That now we can start to be makbid, right? These people that are completely corrupt, completely have abandoned all forms of Torah observance. But when it comes to this, right, suddenly they start asking, what's the halacha? And the whole point of these kolos, is to remind us that Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Minecha, that Hashem is just your shadow. He's responding to everything that you're doing. Last sifra that I wanted to quote from the parasha. At the very end of the klolos, we get some nechama, which is also, incidentally, a difference between the klolos in this parsha as opposed to the klolos at the end of Mishnah Torah. Because the end of Mishnah Torah doesn't end off with a... There's no happy ending, so to speak, in the klolos in Kisavo. Just ends off with the klolos and says, you know, you'll be sold to, you know, you'll be sold in slave boats and, you know, and you'll be so decrepit no one even wants to buy you. No, that's the end of the story, right? But at least here, there's some glimmer of hope that, you know, things will eventually work out. Says the pasuk, "V'zacharti es brisi Avraham, va'af es brisi Yitzchak, va'af es brisi Yaakov es kor, v'ha'aretz es kor." I will remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the covenants that I made with them, and I will remember the Oretz. Okay. Incidentally, the Sifra says this is worth noting. Right? It's not so connected to the Mahalach, but this is worth noting. Right? Va'af es ha'aretz es kor. It says the Sifra, "Malamin shebris krusa im ha'aretz." Just like there is a schus avos, there's also a schus of the Oretz. The schus of the Oretz itself stands for the Jewish people, which is an unbelievable thing. Rif Teichtel, Zichron Alivracha, Hashem Yikom Domo, right, that wrote the Eim Abanim Smecha, right, the Satmar Chassid, that wrote a book from memory as he was running from the Nazis. And he made a deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you let me, right, if you keep me alive long enough to write this book, I'll write this book. And he did. He writes his book completely from memory, like Makoros left and right. After the manuscript eventually was found, right, people added in the Mari Makomos, right, to say, you know, to highlight where everything was from. Anyway, he highlights this point. He says, this is one of the incredible ha'aras to me about how central being in the land is for us, that there is a merit in the land, just like Avraham has a schus, the Oretz has a schus. Anyway, that's just in parentheses. Ask the Sifra, what is the difference between when it lists Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it says, V'zocharti es brisi Avraham, I will remember the bris of Avraham, V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, but by Yitzchak it doesn't say V'zocharti, it says, V'af es brisi Yitzchak, and also the bris of Yitzchak, but it doesn't say Ezkor, it doesn't say Ezkor by Yitzchak, it says, also, just like I will remember the bris of Avraham, also Yitzchak, period. It says, it doesn't require to say, it's not necessary to say Ezkor by Yitzchak. Why? Ki Ephro shel Yitzchak tzavor umunach lefanai al mizbeach. Doesn't need to be reminded. Because the ashes of Yitzchak are, right, the heap, the mound of ashes, are on the mizbeach before me always. I don't need to be reminded. You say Ezkor, it means that, you know, there needs to be something to remind you. But the ashes of Yitzchak are there all the time, and you don't need to be reminded. What is this idea that the ashes of Yitzchak are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bichlal, the significance of the Akedah? Obviously, the Akedah is a central theme in our whole pantheon of stories, and very, very central to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the theme, as it pertains to our conversation, and the flow of the parsha, why it's dafka here, why this idea is mentioned here, the Gemara in Chulin, in Daf Samech Amud Beis, says something very, very peculiar, and understood incorrectly. On the surface, it sounds very, very strange. It sounds almost bizarre, right? Says the pasuk is in Bereishis Aleph. Atotze ha'aretz desha. Okay, v'chol siach hasadet terem yeh ba'aretz. Right, there was no sprouting of any of the plants. Okay, melamed shiyotzu deshayim ba'amdu al pesach karka. That all the plants were sprouting and were at the surface of the ground. They hadn't yet, you know, pierced the surface, so to speak. Okay, an shemo adam harishon ubike shaleim rachamim. Until Adam came and prayed for them, v'yardu gushamim b'tzamchu. And then it rained, and then the things were able to sprout fully. Right? Meaning it's not that they didn't exist. No, they existed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them. He created them in such a way that they were mamish at the surface, ready to emerge. But they were waiting for Adam to come and pray in order to bring down rain so that they could, you know, they could break the surface of the soil. Lelamedcha, this is coming to teach you. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave litfiloson shel tzadikim. That God desires, mis'aveh, He desires, He craves the prayer of the righteous. Rav Nachman Bar Papa Havyalei Hahi Ginta. Rav Nachman had an incident in his personal life. He had a garden. Sadi Bebi Zranei Belotzamach. He put seeds in the ground and they weren't sprouting. Boy Rachameh, and he prayed. Asa Mitra, immediately rain fell, but Somach. And they began to grow. Meaning they grew immediately. Meaning the rain fell and boom, they started sprouting. Omar Havid Ravasi says, "Oh, look! This is Ravasi's teaching right before us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'aveh l'tfilasos shel tzadikim." Now, if you read this, you can understand. Like, is God like sadistic or something? Like, He wants my prayer, so He's going to like put me through these hardships that I have to suffer because He likes, like dance for me. What are you saying? Like, God wants my prayer, so I have to like. This sounds almost sadistic, almost in a way. The idea, Rabbosai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'aveh l'tzidah. The tefillah and shel tzadikim can only be understood if we understand this yisod of Hashem tzilcha al yad minecha, that our outer experience in this world, in the chitzoniyut, right, the chitzoniyut, the outer sphere of our existence, is in the end of the day only a sum total, a projection of our inner experience, right? What does it mean that God desires the prayers of the righteous? What that means is that the whole program, the whole thing that's going on over here, is the tefillah and shel tzadikim. right? You're complaining that this isn't working, that thing isn't working out, this isn't going my way. It's just a projection of the internal mitzvahs. The whole reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was created the world to begin with is for the tefillos and shel tzaddikim. That's why you're here. Yeah, it's so tempting, Rabosai. It's so tempting that when we pray, we're thinking, right? We think that you're praying. When you pray, God forbid, we have serious things that are on the menu. There's no shortage of things that we have to pray for. I'm not belittling anything. God forbid, I'm not belittling anything, right? This person needs a refuah. This person needs financial assistance. This person, right? There's a whole, you know, pantheon of suffering that we can choose from things that are worth praying for, right? But at the end of the day, we think that we're praying for that thing. We think that we're praying for that. But at the most authentic level, Rabosai, we have to understand that we are never really praying for the thing that our eyes are focused on outwardly. We're praying for the internal repair, the internal growth, the internal thriving that needs to happen in order for that thing that we're looking at to be a properly oriented with our internal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the mis'ava l'tfilasan shel tzadikim. Mis'ava l'tfilasan shel tzadikim. Rabosai, we know that all of the imos, perhaps with the exception of Leah, although that's not so clear, but let's just say for purposes of this conversation, all of the imos were barren. All the imos were barren. Sara Imenu, right? On the pasuk, Ein la valad, okay? That she doesn't have, doesn't have a child. The first time that we hear the description of Sara Imenu, says, right? She was barren and she had no child. Ein la valad. Says Chazal on that pasuk, what does it mean? She was barren and she didn't have children. Obviously, she's barren, she doesn't have children. Ein la valad mean she didn't have a womb, meaning she did not have the organs that allow a woman to give birth. She was born with some type of defect that she was biologically incapable of having children. Right? And all the imos experience this to one extent or another. Right? There seems to be a pattern. And you can say, well, you know, the avos seem to have bad luck. But no, that's not what... All of the imos were barren in order to highlight this theme, that the existence of the Jewish people, the existence of the Jewish people is given in a supernatural fashion. The very existence of the Jewish people, the fact that Sara Imenu was able to conceive and have a child, is the reason why we're sitting here right now. And that was done by a supernatural event. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just happened to be that a woman had children, and, you know, with the Hemshech HaDoros, it happened to be that, you know, Klal Yisrael developed from that. No, God intervened in the Bria in order to bring that about. And every single step of the way, every single step of the way of the Imos, okay, bringing, you know, further perpetuating the story of the Jewish people, was done in a supernatural event. And the episode that highlights this dynamic the most is Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak is the symbolism of Akedas Yitzchak and why it's so central to our identity. So we're constantly bringing up the importance of Akedas Yitzchak. Many people have the custom to read the Parshas Akedah before they pray every single morning. And on Rosh Hashanah, for sure, it's the center theme when we're going into Yom HaDin to constantly remember that. The shofar is alluding to that, and everything is alluding to Akedas Yitzchak. Why is that? Because the whole event of Akedas Yitzchak is to show and to highlight this theme. Your existence is not of this world. Don't think that you're here by accident. You're here because I brought you in with my own hands. The Ephro Shel Yitzchak is Munach Lefonai, and the Nisayon of Avraham and Yitzchak in that event was to submit to that reality. Are they going to stay on the outer rim? Are they going to stay in the existence of the Chitzonius? Are they going to stay in that external reality? Or are they going to enter the Lifnai V'Lifnim, the Kodosh HaKadoshim, where everything is directly given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was ultimately the Nisayon. And Avraham and Yitzchak both agreed willingly to go through that Nisayon. And that's why there's no Zechira necessary by Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is living in that mode constantly, all the time, with no Hefsek. The ashes of Yitzchak are there. They're there in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. What does that mean, Ephro Shel Yitzchak? Perush, Rabosai, Perush, Ephro Shel Yitzchak. The fact that the Jewish people submitted to this reality, that they want to be in a state where they are completely, completely cleaved on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence and know and live the reality that their entire existence is a direct emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ephro Shel Yitzchak. and which is ultimately the final hope of the Jewish people, despite their abandoning the Torah on a collective level. They completely abandon the Torah, and they spend years and years and years fighting all the klalos and being stubborn, etc., right? The thing that brings them back is this element. The Mishnah in the end of Maseches Avos, the Brisa rather, in the end of Maseches Avos, Kol ma she'akadosh baruch shebara akadosh baruch hu ba'olam lo bara ela lichvado. Everything that God created in the world, He only created for His honor. Shene'emar, as it says in the pasuk in Yishayahu in Perek Nun Gimel, Kol hanikra b'shmi v'lichvodi b'rasiv. Everything that has been called by my name, for my honor, it was created. It yitzartiv af asisiv. I fashioned it and completed it. Everything. What is the context of this verse, Rabosai? Let's just read a few psukim from Sefer Yishayahu. We'll start from pasuk Zion. Let me just read. Kol ani kriv shmi v'chodi b'rasiv. Everything that I created for the sake of my honor. Hotzi ami verve einayim yesh. I took a nation that was blind, and suddenly they have eyes. The cherishim v'oznayim lamo. They were a deaf, mute nation, and suddenly they had ears to hear. Says the Navi, kol agoyim nikpetsu yachdav. All of the nations of the world gathered in together. V'yasfu l'umim. Okay, he's calling all the nations to come together and listen to this request. Mi bohem yagid zos. Who among them will say this? What's this? What's this that he's asking them to say? That everything that I created for my honor. Who among you will say this? Verishonim yashmiu. Who's going to be the first one to come forward and say this? Yitnu edem. Come and give testimony. V'yitzdaku. And you'll be, right, you'll merit to be the ones to give this edus. V'yomru emes. And you'll say truth. Pasuk Yud. Atem edai ne'um Hashem. Va'avdi asher b'charti. You are my witnesses. Meaning you, Klal Yisrael, you are my witnesses and my servants that I have chosen. Laman teidu v'ta'aminu li, in order that you should know and have faith in me. V'tavinu ki ani hu lefanai lo notzar el. Before me there was no power. Va'acharai lo yiyeh. And none other than me will be afterwards. When we say atem edai nu'um Hashem, that we are God's witnesses, what does that mean? Witnesses to what? Witnesses to that everything that was created in the world was created in order to emanate forth Hashem's kavod. That is the Eidos. That's the Eidos of the Jewish people. And as we all know, in the Chumash, in Parshas Ve'eschanan, in the Pasuk of Kriyashma, which is the central mantra, so to speak, of the Jewish people, right? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, yeah? The Ayin of Shema in the Masora, right? This is brought in the Masechta Sofrim. This is, right, this is an ancient Masora. That the Ayin of Shema and the Dalid of Echad are written in a bigger font, so that when you look at this Pasuk, the word aid will jump out at you. Yitnu edehem v'yitzdaku. That's the edus of the Jewish people. The edus of the Jewish people is this. This entire thing that's going on here, this whole enterprise, it's all in order to give an emanation of Hashem's kavod. And you think that you're looking at this, but really all you're looking at is an emanation of Hashem's kavod. And in the end of the day, Rabosai, this is the Divrei Habris, the Yesod, the foundation of the Divrei Habris, is that everything that we experience, that everything that we make contact with, this world is so hard. It's so hard. We make, right, we bump into things, we make contact, and it hurts, it's painful. This world is about rough contact, right? Right? Being alive is a contact sport, okay? And it's very, very easy, to come to the conclusion that this is what it's about. Right, it's being successful in this. Right, it's getting from here to there. Right, that's what it's about, and in a way, it is about that. Obviously, it is our chiyuv. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't make these things by accident. He didn't make the dynamics of how things function. You know, it wasn't a mistake. So de facto, we're being told that we have to function in this reality, but that's not what it's about. What it's about is that this is a projection of Hakol Nikra Bishmi V'Lichvodi B'Rasiv. And the whole message of the klalos of Toras Kohanim, the whole message of the klalos is that if you're with me, Bekeri, if you're going to be with me like this, I'm going to be with you like this, because you're creating your own metzius. You're creating your own reality. I'm just your shadow. Everything that you experience is just your shadow. You wave your hand like this, your shadow's going to wave your hand like that. It's hand like that. We've read this Gemara in other occasions, Rav Osai, but just worthy of recounting it now. We know the arch villain in the Tanakh is the man from Ephraim, Yeravam, the son of Nevat, who was he started the northern kingdom when the ten northern Shvatim split off from Amleches Yehuda during the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech. And he descended into really the most wicked person in the Tanakh, you could perhaps say, right? Chote umachti es Yisrael. He sinned and caused others to sin. And not just like a little bit caused others to sin, but he instituted a national system of pagan of idol worship. Yeah? So this is not, you know, this is not a small thing. Okay? But what's fascinating about this is that God chooses Yeravam. God comes to Yeravam, he sends, right, the teacher of Eliyahu HaNavi, right, Achiah Shiloni. He sends him to Yeravam and says, listen, I've chosen you amongst all the Jewish people. The Pasuk calls Yeravam an Ish Chayil. Calls him an Ish Chayil. Right? He says he's a chashav person. And Achiah says to Yeravam, says, listen, I'm going to give you kingship over the vast majority of my people. And if you follow my ways and you're loyal to me, right, I will give you a covenant, Kedavid Avdi. Just like I made a covenant with David HaMelech, I will make a covenant with you. So Yeravam is not a stam person. And as the Gemara over here on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph delineates, Yeravam says he is literally on par with Achiah Shiloni. Achiah Shiloni, again, the teacher of Elijah the prophet, okay? His teacher, he's on par with him, okay? Yeah, we don't have to go through the whole sugya, but just what's germane to our conversation. So Yeravam receives the kingship, and he almost immediately goes off, and he installs these golden calves, okay, in two places, right, in his kingdom, so that everyone will be able to, you know, access it easily. God forbid, people actually have to, you know, walk too far in order to get to the Egel Hazav, right? So he immediately goes off. Achar Adavar Zeh Lo Shav Yeravam Midarko HaRa'ah. The Pasuk says in Sefer Malachim that after all of this, Yeravam did not return from his evil ways. Amar Rabbi Abba, Achar Shetofsu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeravam Bebigdo. God came and grabbed Yeravam by the shirt. He grabs him by the shirt and says to him, Chazor Becha, do tshuva. Va'ani va'ata uben Yishai Nitayel Began Eden. We can walk in Gan Eden together. Meaning, you still have the opportunity to fulfill this vis halachti b'solchechem. You could do it. And what does Yeravam answer? Mi barosh, who's going to be at the front of this procession of me, you, and Ben Yishai? Meaning, the Mashiach ben David. Who's going to be at the head? Says God, well, you know, the Mashiach's going to be at the head. Ben Yishai barosh. Right? Says Yeravam, im kein lo ba'inam. If that's the case, I'm not interested. This is standing at a knife's edge between damnation and salvation, right? And God grabbing you by the shirt and saying, come to me, and you could be with me in Gan Eden, and right, and choosing to slump off in the wrong direction and fall down into the abyss. That's unbelievable. It's tragic. It's unbelievably tragic. A gadol be Yisrael, mamash. A gadol be Yisrael, who fell to this temptation, thinking that it was that God gave him kingship over the Jewish people so that he could be a king, so that he can have honor, so that he could have power, so that he could have domain, right, dominion over the Jewish people. That's why he made him a king, right? God made me a king so I could be a king. No, God didn't make you a king so you could be a king. God made you a king so that you could be part of Hakol Nikra B'Shvi U'Chvodi B'Rasiv, so you could be part of that program. That's why he made you a king. Think about it. Think about what you're doing. Why did I put you here? I put you here so that you could advance this program. And if it's not going to be in alignment with what I'm trying to accomplish here, then just why are you here? The ability to be metayel began Eden, Gan Eden. This is the last quote, Rabbi. I know that we're being a little bit marich now. Not so marich. we've quoted the Zohar in different in another context. The Zohar in Parshas Ekev. We're talking about the different qualities, the seven qualities that are accessible on Shabbos of spiritual elevation. Yesod Hashvi Hu HaOneg, says the Zohar, the seventh quality that is accessible on Shabbos is the Oneg. The Oneg, as it says in this, right, in Sefer Yishayahu, Oz Tis'ana Gal Hashem, that you will delight on God, right? Says the Zohar, Oneg, Rosh Tevos, Eden, Nahar, Gan. Right? Eden, Hachochma, Nahar, Zuhabina, Gan, Zuhamalchus. And again, as we have spoken out in more detail in other contexts, the Eden being the domain of the Chochmah, the understanding, we sit, we learn, we hear from our teachers, we contemplate, we come to a clarity of understanding of what it needs to be done. The Nahar, the Bina, the flow from Chochmah, figuring out how to make a plan in order to implement that Chochmah, in order so that it could be implemented in the world. Like the Mishnah from Perek Dalet of Avos, right? People that learn Masechas Avos during this time of year, right? Last Shabbos was this past Shabbos was Perek Dalet. Rabbi Yishmael says, Kol Halomed Almanas Laso, someone who learns in order to do, in order to carry it out, Maspik and Biado Lilmod Lilamed Lishmor Velasos, which is why it's deadly. We pray for that in the Bracha of Avar Abba. We pray, right? Lishmor Laso, right? Lilmod Lilamed, in order to study and to teach Lishmor Velasos, that we can guard and keep, right? So the Nahar, the flow out of Chochmah into, right, figuring out a plan, a strategy in order to be able to, you know, carry that out into action. And the Malchus, the implementation, actually, right, carrying it out. Right, Ad Techpatz, as the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says. Ad Techpatz, until it becomes reality. That's Oneg. Walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Gan Eden. Gan Eden means the implementation of the Chochmah. Right, the Eden being the internal world of the Chochmah, of coming to understand, right, the understanding, the ultimate understanding being Hakol Nikra Bishmi V'Lichvodi Brasiv. That's the yesod of all the Chochmah. Reishis Chochmah Yiras Hashem. The very beginning of all Chochmah is living in awe of the divine. That's the awe, when knowing that your entire existence is just an emanation of the divine splendor. That's the ultimate Yira. The ultimate Yira. Yeah? Being able to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden is being able to live in the Chitzonius that it was decreed upon us. Every single one of us fought to not have to come into this world. Every single one of us. Right? We were dragged out of our sublime domain and forced into the current reality that we're in right now. Right? It was decreed upon us. Right? It is incumbent upon us to exist here. We have to exist here. Okay? But to walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden means that you're here. You're here in the lowest of the low, knowing that it is that everything that you're doing is a flow, is a nahar, yotzei me'eden lahashkos esagan. It's coming out of the domain of Chochmah in order to irrigate the gan being here. This is the gan. And we can make it a gan, right? We can make it a desolate wasteland. V'ha'aretz tiyashmama. It will be completely, completely desolate, right? Or, as the pasuk in Yechezkel says in Perek Lamed Vav, right? V'hashmama yihyeh le'eden. You can make the shmama, you can make the desolateness into Eden. You can do that. So it's up to you. You're the oris, you're the sharecropper, right? If the sharecropper leaves the thing, right, to its own devices, the thing will turn into a wasteland very, very quickly. Or you can make it a gan. And how do you make it a gan? You irrigate the gan. How do you irrigate the gan? You irrigate the gan from drawing the river from Eden. Perush. You contemplate the chachma. You hear from your rabbanim. You listen to what the, right, from what the richness of the Masara that we all, Baruch Hashem, have tremendous ease and access to. We think about that, we contemplate that, we live that, and then we draw that down into the Gan. And living with that reality, living with that realization, with that understanding, that the Gan is just a projection. It's just a projection from the Eden. It's being irrigated by Eden. We can live in that reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfilos shel tzadikim, that God yearns for the prayers of the righteous. Because the righteous, what are the righteous praying for? The tzaddikim, this is what the tzaddikim pray for. They pray that this world can be the Gan, can be the Gan Eden. That this world can be a one-to-one projection of something lofty and sublime. That's their tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns for those tefillahs. But it requires waking up. Even for the tzaddikim, right, it requires a little bit of waking up. It requires a trigger, so to speak. right? So that they can wake up and see the need to draw that down, to draw the Nahar down into the Gan. Mizrat Hashem, this is in many ways the ultimate lesson. And it is certainly, right, the fact that we have to go over this Musar before we enter into the din of the Atzeres, the din of Shavuos, Nami Rosh Hashanah. It's also a Yom HaDin. We have to decide now how we want to approach this, right? Because the bris requires us to be here. It requires us to live in this domain. Again, there's no getting out of it. You're here against your will. You're here whether you like it or not. So you better make the best of it. And you can make the best of it. You can. There's so much richness out there, Rabbosai. There's so much. There's so much that can be done. So much. Endless. Beyond anything you could possibly imagine. But to be able to live there, to be able to live in that domain, and make that domain the Gan, the garden, the sublime garden that's irrigated by the Eden. It's possible. It's possible to do that. It's possible also to fall, right? If it's possible for Yeravim to fall, it's possible for anyone to fall. But by going through the avoda of remembering the Divrei Habris, Elu Divrei Habris, these are the terms of the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By going through that avoda and inculcating into our minds and hearts, right, the Divrei Habris before we enter Atzeres, Ezrat Hashem, we will all be matzliach in this avoda. Chizku v'ames levavchem, komu yachalim na Hashem.